Praise the Lord.
Amen.
God is good.
Yes, always.
Today's Father's Day. Thank God we've got a Father. A Heavenly Father.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes.
So, you know, everybody that says, well, you know, I've not had a good father. I don't know what it was like to have a good father. Well, let me tell you, you've got one now.
Amen.
No excuse. So, yeah, there's no excuse.
Amen.
And Jesus said, I've come to reveal the Father.
He did.
Said, I'm doing what the Father does.
Yes.
So if you want to find out what a good Father's like, read the New Testament.
Amen.
Read the four Gospels.
Yes.
And you'll see what God the Father is like. He's a good Father.
God, he is.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Jesus taught us, Matthew chapter 6, he taught us the Lord's Prayer.
Yeah.
Our Father.
Yes.
Who art in heaven. Hallowed, glorious, magnify your wonderful name.
Amen.
Yes?
Yes.
That's our Father.
Yes.
That's our Father God.
Yeah.
So there we can start. And so today, you know, it's to know a good Father, we need to be in the house of the Father's house.
Yes, we do.
Don't we?
Yes. He is present.
And you know, you can look around and you can see on the news and the everywhere else, it seems at times that the world seems to constantly be trying to imply there are not good fathers around. And there are some bad fathers, yeah. Some bad mothers.
Yeah.
It's not just one side.
No.
But I know one good father.
Amen.
Who will never, ever let you down.
Praise God.
He's always there for you.
He is.
He said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. And it's our Father who art in heaven. Hallowed be thy wonderful name.
Praise God.
Thy kingdom come. Let his kingdom come in your life.
Amen.
When you know the kingdom of God coming in your life, it will begin to quicken our mortal bodies.
It will. Amen.
See, God wants his kingdom to come into your life to quicken this mortal body. What's the kingdom?
Amen.
The kingdom.
Amen.
The kingdom in you. More.
Yes.
And more. And more.
Amen.
And more.
Amen.
Until it bursts out into life.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
Yes.
Amen. I'm going to have you talking to me before I've done. Glory to Jesus. If it's only you I've got to preach, I'll preach to you. Right? If there's nobody else coming, I'll preach to you.
Amen.
Amen. Glory to Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
God wants his life in you again.
Amen, he does.
He wants his word coming forth. Don't let go.
Amen.
Don't let go.
No.
Hold on.
No.
Hold on.
Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise his wonderful name.
Praise God. Thank you, Lord.
You're still alive, aren't you?
Amen.
God's not finished yet.
Yes.
God's not finished yet.
No.
So glory to God. So God is in control. He's our Father.
Amen.
And so if you may have not had good father experiences, look to the Word.
Yeah.
Look to Jesus. He's the example.
Yeah.
He's the example. He shows us the way forward. You know, people have these role models. They have these superstars, as they call them, whatever they are, you know. These footballers that go into battle. Battle. Well, they use these terms, don't they? Hey, they're going to battle. I don't see them carrying a gun.
No.
I don't see them dying for their team.
No.
Usually they're laying down for their team, trying to get a penalty. You know, quick nudge in the diving. Oh,
yeah.
And they use these terminologies that about fighting.
It's like,
and battle, and it's a war. And it's like, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
We misuse words.
Yeah, we do.
We overuse them.
Yeah.
But God wants you to know that God does not misuse words.
No.
And God does not overuse them.
No,
what God says, He means.
Yeah.
And what God says He's going to do, He's going to do.
Amen.
He does not change.
Yeah.
I've got to change.
Yeah. Amen.
You've got to change.
Yeah. Amen.
And when we change, what we do, we align ourselves up with God. We align ourselves with the power of God.
Yeah.
And the blessings of God.
Yeah.
And God begins to flow through us and to us. Many of you know this, that as you sometimes, well, as Bill has even said today, that God slapped him and spoke to him.
Yeah.
What was God doing?
Discipline.
A good father brings discipline to align you. To correct you. To focus you on right things.
Yeah.
Our thinking can so easily be distracted onto wrong things. Started in the garden with just the wrong thought. Look where it got us. Created a mess.
Yeah.
And the mess has been there ever since.
Mm-hmm.
And in all of that mess, Jesus was sent to begin to sort it out. And to make a way through this maze of mess and dysfunctionalism that there is in the world.
Yeah.
Father looked down and said, "Son, you need to go."
Oh. Yeah.
He sent His Son that you and I might have a good father.
Amen.
A good father. Praise His wonderful name. And I think it's wonderful in the fact that the Lord's Prayer, when Jesus said, "I'm going to teach you how to pray."
Yeah. Amen.
He could have said, "Pray like this, Our God who art in heaven." But He didn't, did He? Our God could have been anything in one sense. But He personalized it and said, "My Father has sent me for you."
Yeah.
Got your name.
Yeah.
It's got your name. "And I've come for you," He said.
Yeah.
"And now I've come for you, and I'm going to die for you, and I'm going to teach you how you can talk to My Father. Because My Father is going to be your Father."
Amen.
And so He said, "This is how you now pray. Our Father, My Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Your name." It's about a personal relationship.
Amen.
It's not about a father that's cruel to us.
No.
It's not about a father that abuses us.
No.
But it is about a father who loves us and is there, out there, wanting to restore each and every one of us into completeness, into Himself.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes.
That's what it's about.
Yeah.
Turn with me to Psalm 103. Psalm 103. And verse 13. Psalm of David. "Just as a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear Him."
Amen.
"For He Himself knows our frame."
Yeah.
He's mindful. He's thoughtful.
Yeah.
He's concerned. He knows that you and I just are but dust.
Mm-hmm.
He knows what He made us out of.
Dust.
He knows what He made you out of. But He knows what He's making you into.
Yeah.
Woo!
not stopped.
No.
The process is ongoing.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
You know, you can look in a mirror and you think, my, you know, need me hair cutting or, you know.
This week. You can't look at the nails and it's
like that. Never mind you laughing with her. I mean, I've got to look smart when I go in with all these people that think they've got money.
Yeah.
They'll be all in this 5-star plus hotel and they're all there, you know, thinking they've got money. And they don't know my father,
no,
who he is.
No.
Eh? There's nobody as rich as my father,
whoa,
you're right.
Eh?
No. You know, it's tremendous, you know, how that God just suddenly opens these doors and does these things for us. You know what, just to say something to you. Over the years, we have given in time, money, things, etc. Over the years, and that's not a boast, that's just a statement of a fact that's happened to in our life. We've not given it to get, we've given it in absolute obedience of what we felt God say to us.
Just to bless.
To bless people. Some people have said thank you. Others have treated us like dirt and wiped their feet on us and then turned the mat over and wiped their feet on the other side of the mat. Some people have stolen from us over the years. There's two ways of dealing with this.
Yeah.
One is, I'll never forgive them and I'll always do them wrong every time I get an opportunity. Right? Or the other one is to say, well, Lord, you've seen.
Yeah.
You see my hands. You see my heart. I leave it to you, Lord,
amen,
to sort it out.
Yeah.
And then carry on walking with Jesus. Walking with God.
Amen.
And it's the only way forward. Because when you do that, you're not expending your energy being vindictive,
no,
being malicious, being,
no,
being, you know, trying to destroy somebody. Jesus said, I've come that you might have life.
Amen.
We're life givers.
We are.
And you know, if someone has done something wrong, then let God slap them about.
Yeah.
Because when God slaps, whoa,
it's
you know, he gets them right in the right place at the right time, every time.
Amen.
You know, each and every one of us at times, we've had a little from God.
I have.
Haven't we?
Yeah.
And it's like, whoa, that stings. But it stung in the right place. It hit the spot.
Amen. It didn't,
and it made you sit up and it made you take notice of what God is trying to say to you. Because God is bringing you and me to a place of perfection.
Amen.
And while you and I let something from outside that somebody's hurt us or done something wrong to us, that is a thorn in the flesh.
It is.
It's like a maggot. Eating into rotten meat or rotten fruit. It's devouring it.
Yeah.
God says, I'm not here to devour you. I'm here to cause you to be in abundance.
Amen.
I'm here to cause you to be a blessing.
Amen.
Praise his wonderful name. And so, my Heavenly Father has compassion on his children. Because he knows what he made us from.
Amen.
He knows our frailty. He knows how fragile we are. He knows how now, because of the lack of the presence of his Spirit in us from the very beginning that he created, because of that lack we fall short. And then when we come to know him, his presence comes in. But as Bill said earlier, the word says, but the enemy is crouching at the door. He's always knocking, trying to get in.
Yeah.
He's always trying to find something to get your attention, you know.
Yes.
He's there.
Yeah.
Can I upset your routine? Can I get your attention? Last week, you said you're going away on this weekend. You might not get back. And do you remember we said, Lord, make it an easy journey.
Amen.
Easy there. Easy coming back. that she can arrive safe and sound and be on time.
Amen.
And what happened? You're here.
God.
Ray has been stuck in a car park because of a traffic jam for 2 hours, and he only lives about 15 minutes from the church. You know, and you've travelled about 2 or 3 hours. And got here more or less on time. Glory to God. So, there you go. So, you know, God is into doing things.
He is.
You know, he does what, when you believe, you shall receive.
Amen.
Right?
Yes.
And so, believe God can do the impossible.
Yes.
We didn't ask for this accommodation. Just got this message, I got this text message. Have you booked a hotel yet? No, not yet. Don't. I've got something arranged. And that was it. And then 2 weeks went by nearly and I'd not heard any more. Then suddenly I get this email. Wow. Praise God. What a... God is a God of blessings to us. God will always meet the need.
He will.
All the time.
He will.
And God will provide for you. Because it says, His eye is always upon you. He says He knows how many hairs you've got on your head.
Yeah.
It does, doesn't it? I've got more than you. And but God knows exactly how many you've got.
Yeah.
Amen. Praise God. Psalm 146 says this. Psalm 146. And verse 9. The Lord protects the strangers. He supports the fatherless and the widow.
Yeah.
But he also thwarts the way of the wicked.
Yeah.
You don't have to be fighting somebody.
Yeah.
You don't have to stress yourself out when somebody has done you wrong. Because, well, it won't do your health any good for a start.
No.
You'll lose sleep. You'll waste your energy. You'll cause yourself to end up being sick. Just hand it over to your Heavenly Father.
Praise God.
You know, if you've got a bully, just tell your Heavenly Father.
Amen.
If you've got somebody that stole from you, somebody that's bad-mouthing you, give it to your Heavenly Father.
Amen.
I once remember many years ago when I was an apprentice, I had a scooter. And a friend and I used to go to work on this scooter. Wasn't very quick, wasn't very fast. And off we were going to work every day on this scooter up through these backcountry lanes. And this van overtook me and pulled in front of me and tried pushing me into the grass banking. So I backed off and pulled back a little bit and let him move on a bit, and then he started slowing down again, so I pulled out and decided to overtake him and pass him. I thought, what's he playing at? Then he tries and runs me into this other side of the banking. So I backed off and off he went. We let him go. Anyway, we went another route. And as it happened, we came back out onto the main road, and coming up this steep hill was this van again. So we set off up the hill and we were nearly at work. And I'm keeping to the side of the road, and all of a sudden this van pulls up at the side of me and starts to try and push me off the road. Well, I'd had enough by then. I was wearing steel toe caps. Had to wear them in the steel foundry. And I went on a scooter, it's open-sided. So I just, you know, he got right up so close, he's about to hit me, so I just went Bang! And I lashed out at the van with my boot. Well, when he heard this bang on the van, the van literally jumped. And off it went, like you see. And he took off and gone. Well, I didn't know who he was. Never seen him before. Never seen the van before. Of course, the two of us were like, that was close. Anyway, when I got home, I told my dad about it. I said, you know, I said, this van tried running us off the road. I said, I've never seen him before. I said, I don't know who he is. Turned out we discovered later, he actually worked at the same company as I worked at. But I'd never ever seen the man before. I saw his van later. And as it turned out, my dad said, did you get the registration number? And I think we'd got the number and described the van. And anyway, my dad went down Wath and he was going to the bank. And guess what? The van was there. He saw this van. So my dad just went up and stood and waited around the van. And then this man appeared, just to get in his van. And my father went up to him. I want to have a word with you. You tried to run my son off the road on his scooter. He says, if you ever try that again, he said, you'll not see another day. Never had any more trouble with that van, do you know that? Don't know why I had trouble with it in the first place, but I needed me dad to sort him out.
Amen.
What am I trying to say? When you've got trouble, get your dad, God, your heavenly father, to sort him out.
Amen.
He does a great job.
He does.
Just lay back, like, you know. Never had any more trouble. That van passed me another time, you know, just gave us a wide berth. There's a funny end to the story, actually. Some months later, I got transferred into another department in the factory, in the offices. And I got chatting with one of the girls that was a secretary in the department I was in. And she was telling me, oh, they've just bought a van. Off somebody that was already working in the company. And, you know, she's telling me all this story. And I said to her, is there a dent on left-hand side on that wing? And she said, yeah, there is, actually. She says, yeah, it's quite a large dint. I said, yeah. I said, I put that dint in. She says, you did what? I said, yeah. And I told her the story. I actually put a dint in the van. I kicked it so hard. Well, it were either him or me. I did my little bit, and then my dad found him later. My heavenly father will find out, and he will restore.
Amen.
You see, you worship him, you stay focused on him, and he will do the rest.
Amen. Amen.
I once had a preacher take off with a 50-odd pound Bible and never pay me. Preacher! Bless you, you know. They're the worst. Bless you, brother. Bless you, brother. Thank you, brother. Bless you, bless you, brother. Oh, you're my brother, aren't you? Yeah, right. £50 and it's gone. I said, God, find him. 2 or 3 years later.
took a while.
But 2 or 3 years later, the man turned up. Got his phone number. Everything. I got my money. Because I told my father, I said, I'm not having him stealing from me. I said, I want that money back this time. And so God arranged. I got it. Somebody rang me and said, oh, I've got this man's phone number you're looking for. For ex-directory he was as well. Oh, glory to Jesus. You see, when God's at work, he does miracles. This guy lived in Liverpool. I don't live anywhere near Liverpool. God turns him up. Oh, well, there you go. Yeah, obviously, I know it's even worse now. They even steal Bibles, you know. So, but what is it I'm trying to say? Your Heavenly Father looks after you.
Amen.
If you allow Him.
Yeah.
If you allow Him.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So often we think, I'll do it.
Yeah.
No. I'm going to do it my way. I'll do it. I can do it. You know, little children. I can do it. I'm doing it. Yeah, you know. They do it. It's mine. I'm doing it. And so you leave them. Next thing it's in a heap and a mess. And it's like, Next thing it's, Daddy. But you were doing it. I can't. Let God do it.
Amen.
Our function is to worship and serve Him.
Yes.
Worship Him. And in our worship, He then blesses us.
Yeah.
And the Bible says if the devil's stolen from you,
yeah,
he has to return sevenfold. Bring it on.
Sure
bring it
does.
On.
Amen.
Seven times as much. Come on. You know,
yeah.
We can find room for it. Amen. We can find a use for it.
Amen.
Glory to God, can't we?
Yes.
Relationship with the Father.
Yeah.
Relationship with the Father.
He
our Father,
Amen.
Who art in heaven, hallowed, precious is your wonderful name. Fill the whole earth. Fill this earth.
Fill this, earth. Yeah.
Fill this vessel.
Yeah.
Fill these vessels
yeah.
with your glory.
Praise God.
Yeah. Help us to become good spiritual fathers. Right?
Yeah.
Help us to become good spiritual fathers.
Yeah.
You know, it might be that you're not old enough, that you're too old now to be a father, but you can be a spiritual father.
Oh,
you
man.
See, there is a great need in the nation
for role models
oh, and role models from spiritual fathers.
Oh,
our nation needs fathers.
It does.
There are so many families that are one parent families that live without fathers.
Yeah.
They've chosen to do it that way.
Yeah.
But it's not God's way, and that's a way of rebellion that they've chosen.
Yeah.
And the role model is not for good fathers anymore. People not taking responsibility for actions and for deeds.
Yeah.
Just want to enjoy themselves, do what they want, and walk away and take no responsibility. There will be a reckoning day.
Yeah.
All accounts have been kept.
Yeah.
God's a good accountant.
Yes.
He's a mathematician.
Yes.
Science is based on maths.
Yes.
Music is based on maths. Yes. Is it not? Creation. It's all based on maths.
Yes.
God's a mathematician.
Yes.
He's a good accountant. He keeps good records. Hallelujah. And we can rejoice in that he keeps good records because he keeps good records of wrongs and rights. Amen. And he gives rewards. Hallelujah. The Bible tells me he gives rewards to those that serve him, that do right.
Amen.
He said he's no man's debtor.
Hallelujah.
So we can thank God that our Heavenly Father is a just and honourable Father and will reward us.
Yes.
Praise His wonderful name.
You,
that's great, isn't it?
Amen.
Guess what? Have you got a reward coming?
Oh,
yes. Oh, I like
praise
that.
God.
Oh, yes. No doubt. You know, it's like, oh, yes.
Oh, yes.
Wait, you know, bring it on.
Amen.
It'll be all wrapped up with a pink bow, I suppose, for you, won't it? Oh, yes.
You see.
God is there to do what He wants to bless you. He wants to do it.
He does.
Because He's your Father.
Yeah.
He's your Father. So for those that have lost fathers, you'll never lose God.
No. Thank you, Lord.
You'll never lose God.
Thank you, God.
He said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I'll be the best father that you've ever had.
Amen.
There'll be nobody to top me. Hallelujah. Praise His wonderful name. And so anybody's planning wickedness against you, God says, sorted. Sorted it. Seen it coming. I've already got a plan.
Amen.
It's already been sorted out. You just carry on and worship me.
Amen.
Don't be distracted from your worship.
That's
When the enemy comes in, like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord lifts up a standard against him. So when you see the standard going up, start praising. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. Victory's here. Hallelujah. The enemy's going to be defeated. Hallelujah. You know, they're going to be totally destroyed, annihilated. They will suffer the consequences thereof. Because we have a Heavenly Father who's going to do us good as we worship him and praise him. Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 12. This is one bit we don't always like. We're not keen on Proverbs. Just after the Psalms there. Verse 12. For whom the Lord loves. Oh, ain't it? It's nice to hear that word love, isn't it? You know, oh, the Lord, your Heavenly Father loves you. For whom your Heavenly Father loves you. He says, he also reproves you, corrects you. Oh dear. Oh dear. Anybody here being corrected by an earthly father? Or a school teacher. We were talking on the other week, I think, weren't we, about school teachers and you know, when they used to deal out discipline. Not that they can do it, they can't do it these days, they say. What's lacking? Some discipline. He whom receives discipline from his Heavenly Father is loved by his Father.
Amen.
You know, correct a person to go in the right way of the things of God, and you've rescued them, and you've done it because you love them.
Amen.
So, that's what he used to say. He was a Christian, by the way, but he used to say, I only hit you because I love you. He never hit me. That tells you one or two things. Either he didn't love me, or I was a very good boy. Hey! I weren't going for a third one. What do you mean? He never caught me. There's always one, isn't there? Huh? Lord, Father God, deal with him. He's vilifying me, Lord. Where do we get to Proverbs, didn't we? You're having too much fun in church. Stop it. Dear me, there's tears running down my eyes now at the moment. Tears of joy.
Huh? The church is not
equal, no, you're in church. You shouldn't be laughing. Glory to Jesus. Oh, I can't see now for tears. Oh dear. Oh, where are we? Verse 12. For whom the Lord loves, he reproves, even as a father, the son in whom he delights. He delights in you. That's why now and again he comes and he'll have to give you a nudge and raise his voice to you and say, hey, what do you think you're doing? Have a look here. Come and read this. Listen to my voice.
Yeah.
He says he does it because he loves you.
Amen.
Some folk these days, when they've been smacked or reproved and made to feel wrong and bad, you don't love me anymore. Well, that's where you're wrong.
Yeah.
I love you that much that we're doing this because I want you to walk.
Amen.
And walk on in that right path, in that right direction.
Yeah,
too many people are quitting the way. Yeah. Taking the easy route. Easy to quit.
It is.
Just stop doing what you're doing.
Yeah.
So, Just stop. No energy to be expended. Just stop. Go the way the world's going. Hell.
Yeah. Sir.
Hell.
Yeah.
Not the best way. Verse 21. Proverb, when you go home, you need to read Proverbs 3 for yourself. Talks about wisdom, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Talks about wisdom. Where does wisdom come from? Comes from God.
Yeah.
You can't teach wisdom.
No.
Can't go to school and learn wisdom.
No.
There isn't a subject on the school curriculum called wisdom. There's a subject for mathematics, subject for science, English, history, geography, etc., etc. But there isn't one for wisdom.
No.
Is there?
No.
And God says here, my son, let them not depart from your sight. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. Talks here. Verse 13. How blessed is the man. That's where I should be. How blessed is the man who finds wisdom.
Yeah.
Who finds wisdom. Doesn't mean that you walk around and just pick it up off the floor like it's a lost coin. Wisdom's not lost, by the way, just in case. It's not lost, is it? No. We need to find it from God in our lives. I was looking up and I thought, I wonder how the world sort of looks upon wisdom and knowledge. You see, when you go to school, they impart to you knowledge, don't they?
Yeah.
They endeavour to. To some it works, to others it didn't work, to some it worked to a lesser point than others. Didn't it?
Yeah.
Some are slower than others, they mature at a different rate, etc. And so they're constantly imparting knowledge to you at school, so that you can have knowledge. But wisdom can't do it.
No.
Computer has a lot of knowledge.
Got knowledge.
You can put loads of information on a computer. Loads of knowledge in there. Does it have wisdom? Got moods, he said. Bill says they have moods. Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I think they do actually. But they don't have wisdom. I have never seen a computer yet that has got any wisdom whatsoever. Because when it comes to a problem, actually, if you don't tell it what to do, it just sits there. And just spins forever. Yeah, it just spins forever. Just sits there. You know, and just, yeah, one of its moods, as Bill says, you know, error. You know, or shuts down on you automatically for no reason whatsoever. So, you do realize that the first computer was actually built by a woman. Yeah,
Grace.
Called the Grace, by the way. So now you know why a computer is like it is, and I am saying no more. It's Father's Day, you see. It's a man's day today. You see, you've learnt something, haven't you? You see? Yeah. I know wisdom is she. That's, well, I'm getting to that in a bit, actually. Wisdom is, knowledge is not wisdom. You know, there's a lot of knowledge being given out these days in the world.
Yeah.
You know, in various shapes, forms and sizes, through books, computers, TV, whatever, videos, etc., DVDs, all this. Everybody's seeking more knowledge, aren't they? They're all knowledge gathering.
Yeah.
constantly gathering information. You can't gather wisdom. Knowledge is information of which someone is aware. Knowledge is also used to mean the confident understanding of a subject, potentially with the ability to use it for a specific purpose. Right? Wisdom. This is a world definition. Is the ability to make correct adjustments and decisions. It is an intangible quality gained presumably through experience. Yes.
Because discipline is training.
Discipline is training.
Yes.
Discipline is training. And that's true, yeah. And it comes after the discipline, it comes after the reproof, and it says, but find wisdom. Find wisdom. Knowledge is information, and wisdom is understanding and applying things. The application of knowledge. You see, wisdom allows you to actually take all the knowledge that you have and apply it to something. Oh, hi. Well, knowledge just puff up. You know, you can. There are people who are so educated and they have so many degrees. They've been to university for most of their life, but don't have an ounce of wisdom. Don't have an ounce of wisdom. No, they're full of knowledge. Full of knowledge. And knowledge is not... It's good to know things. But you need wisdom how to use it. You don't give a racing car to a child and a full-grown racing car and say, here, go and drive that on the streets, you'll be all right, high-powered car. You have to begin to teach them something. And it's not just the knowledge of how to do it. They need some wisdom.
Some of the greatest inventors are actually rejected through the educational system.
Exactly. All wisdom comes from God.
Yeah.
We can gather information, but we can't go and gather wisdom. We wish we could. Wisdom help, you know, we go through situations and circumstances and then we can look back at it and say, oh, with hindsight, I would have done this differently.
Yeah.
Well, don't we? We've all said that. Well, you know, if I could back to the future or whatever happens, you know, go back in time with the wisdom I've got in the present time, if I could take that wisdom back with me into the past, I'd do it differently. Has anybody said that before? Well, you can't. And we beat ourselves up, don't we?
Yeah.
Now, let's be honest, we beat ourselves up. And the devil says, oh, great, I've got something I can beat you with now. And he does, doesn't he? He disturbs your mind. He just tries to disturb your peace. See, he's not a good father. You see, he's not really a father. God's your heavenly father. Satan is trying to take over the role. Satan wants to be a bad stepfather. I never seen it that way till now. He's like a stepfather. And all he's after, Dickens used to write stories like this, didn't he? You know, there was one on TV not so long ago, I'm trying to think which one it was. And the boy's father dies. The boy's father dies and this this man comes into his mother's life. Well, right, David Copperfield. And she's got money. And he actually brings her into so much oppression and control that she daren't say anything. And he disciplines David so viciously. Then he sends him off to boarding school and gets him out of the way. And then finally, his mother basically dies of a broken heart. And he clears off and sells everything and he takes all the money. And he's not only done it to her, he's done it to somebody else, and he's going to do it to somebody else. That's what Satan does. He's not a true father, he's a stepfather. He's usurping his position.
Yes.
And he tries to usurp his position in your life and my life,
yeah,
and seems to imply, I'm your father, really.
Yeah. Yeah.
But he's not. You could trust me, he said. Trust me, I've got some good things for you. It sparkles in it. It's really attractive and tempting. Can't do without it. The Heavenly Father's totally different.
Yes.
Tells you, keeps you away from those things that will destroy you and distract you. Mm. Trying to usurp the Heavenly Father's authority,
yeah,
and his position. Trying to take over. I've read the end of the book. He don't succeed. When you read the end of David Copperfield, David Copperfield gets the victory.
Yes.
And the man is exposed.
Yes, yeah.
Satan is being exposed.
Yeah.
Yes. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And Jesus and our Heavenly Father are on the throne.
Woo!
Glory
God.
To God. And we can rejoice. You know, as we live our lives, so many people, as I say, are seeking knowledge and striving for more knowledge and more knowledge. And there's more and more information on the internet, isn't there? At a click of a button and or a flick of a telephone, and they're on the internet and they're gathering all this information.
Yeah.
They're full of knowledge.
Yeah.
Huh? I was just, can you let me finish? They're full of knowledge. I'm going to sit down and get on with it. What do you say?
That's true, Penny.
Full of knowledge, and they've got all this information coming at them, and they're so clever. They don't have the wisdom. Or the nous to use it, as we'd say in the Yorkshire term. They don't have the nous how to use it.
No.
It's like giving a kid a circular saw and say, here you go, plug it in and use it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. What are you doing? Oh, your arms come off. Yeah. You need a bit of wisdom to know how to use this thing. Don't you? Need to be taught. Need to be shown.
Yeah.
We can appear to be wise. We can have a lot of knowledge and we can spout off, can't we? And think, ooh. He's clever, isn't he? He's a wise man. Is he wise? Or is just does he have a lot of learning? The Bible says a wise man keeps his own counsel. He says, a foolish man is heard for.
rabbit.
Bending your ear all the time, never shuts up, constantly talking. We'll never learn anything. will never become wise because they can never see it or hear it because they're busy. Always busy. I believe wisdom can be a gift from God.
Amen. Yeah.
Gift from God. You can be wise beyond your years.
Yeah.
How did it happen? You know, you can have a wise person that doesn't have a lot of knowledge.
Yeah.
Doesn't come from university. They don't give out diplomas in wisdom.
No.
Do they? You see, a few weeks ago you had some wisdom, didn't you?
Sure did.
With you not getting involved. And
yeah.
Knowledge would have said, I'm the parent, I'll move in and I'll slap each and every, both, all three of them and sort them out and that'll be it. It's not that easy, you're right. That's what wisdom knows.
Yeah.
Wisdom is grown to some degree as well out of experiences. And when you're in relationship with God, God begins to talk to you. And God begins to share with you His experiences. You see, He's older than you. My dad is all wisdom. And he's all knowledge. You see, he's balanced. He has all wisdom and all knowledge. But note the word says, he has all wisdom and then all knowledge. Wisdom is more important than knowledge. Proverbs talks about much about wisdom. I think it's Proverbs 31, isn't it, where it talks about he who finds a good wife finds a good thing, and she's classed as being wisdom. And often the lady, the female side, has much wisdom. I'm getting some grief this afternoon, aren't I? No, God, that's right. God is on the side of wisdom. Absolutely. I found this on the internet. I gathered some knowledge off the internet. All right, yes. And it's a little statement by a Christopher Rees. And he makes this statement like this. Knowledge is measuring that a desert path is 12.4 miles long. That's knowledge.
Wisdom says,
this is what wisdom is, right? Wisdom is packing enough water for the Ike. Yeah? It's not complicated. Wisdom is not complicated, yeah? Knowledge says it's 12.5 miles along this desert, and it's a desert. Take note the word desert. So it's going to be hot, it's going to be dry, there's no water. Wisdom says we better take some water. That's what wisdom does. Knowledge would just say it's only 12.4 miles, come on. And off it goes. And halfway, it dies in the middle because there was no wisdom that went with the knowledge. To take some water with you. You should be using wisdom every day. You get in your car and you go on a journey. Has a fuel gauge, doesn't it? And you know how far you're going.
Yeah.
Right? You don't sit there and think, oh, just ignore that fuel gauge. Don't take any notice of that. I'll just carry on. I'll be all right. That's ignoring the knowledge and also being absolutely foolish, having no wisdom whatsoever. Wisdom says if you're going on a long journey and it may be that it's going to be late at night, make sure you've got some fuel in your tank so you've enough to get back. Don't it? Don't leave it so you're on the borderline just because you could get stuck in a traffic jam for 2 hours. Burning fuel and going nowhere.
Yeah.
Wisdom is there to lead the knowledge forward. And knowledge and wisdom. Wisdom comes from God. Knowledge comes from God. All these people that discover, that think they've discovered something new, they haven't discovered, well, that it was always there. They found it. It was always there. There was something about recently, they discovered a new monkey. It's been there for the last few thousand years. It's one that we didn't actually evolve from, by the way. There, it's been 55 million years. It's been lost for 55 million years, that monkey. Well, I'll tell you what, it didn't have a lot of wisdom, did it, to find its way? It's taken it 55 million years to find its way here. You know. Ah, oh, there you go. Yeah, poor sat nav. I mean, the other amazing thing is, you know, as we gather this knowledge, we suddenly discover as well that on the earth, the mountains of the sea are higher than the mountains that are above the sea. You know, we're going into space, but we can't discover what's on the earth and beneath the water. We don't have the capabilities. And there's more life down there than there is on planet Zog, or whatever it happens to be. You know?
Ah!
It amazes me, you know, that they go on these Star Trek things, and every planet they hit, they can all speak English with an American accent, and there's always air to breathe.
Yeah,
I think it's amazing.
Yeah.
I think it's fantastic. You know, God is so good, isn't he? You know, I mean,
they're all as ugly.
Yeah, and everybody, and all these people they meet, they're all ugly. Not like us. Beautiful. Created in the image of God.
Oh,
this lot that they see, they're all like slugs and snails that's come out of swamp. Well, it is. You've seen them, haven't you? They've got wrinkles. The one I saw just recently, they've got tentacles on top. I thought, just seen them in my garden. A set of snails doing that. Going around and giving it all this. You know, I thought, well, amazes me. And then they can talk English as well, as I said. It's like, wow! Yeah, there you go. You see, all that knowledge does for you and for me and for the world, it just sort of brings a form of happiness. Don't bring joy. Doesn't bring joy. See, knowledge is knowing about things. Knowledge helps us to practice things. Knowledge helps us get pleasure to some degree from things. Makes us happy. Wisdom is knowing that while those things may bring you pleasure, this is a statement. Wisdom is knowing that while those things may bring you pleasure, and then they've quoted happiness, well, I put in brackets joy. Because the joy of my Heavenly Father is my strength. Happiness comes from things. So, I'm changing this to say, the joy is not derived from things or situations or people.
No.
Oh, it's, you know, sometimes it can be a joy to be around you. There are other times when it may not be a joy to be around you. Are you nodding? What are you nodding for? Are you having a go at me as well now? So, what's happening here is that if joy is not derived from things around us, It's not derived from situation. It's not derived from people. It's the understanding that joy comes from within.
Amen. Those inside us.
And he that is in us,
amen,
the Spirit of God,
amen,
is greater than he that's in the world.
Amen.
And so, the wisdom of God that's placed in us and the Spirit of God that's placed in us gives us the joy.
Amen.
Knowledge only brings you a measure of happiness. Some knowledge can actually bring sadness. Let's be true. Some knowledge can carry sadness with it. But wisdom will always carry joy.
Amen.
Wisdom will always carry joy. That's great. So you don't want all this knowledge. You want a barrel load of wisdom. Because when you've got a barrel load of wisdom coming along, guess what? There's a barrel load of joy coming with it. Hallelujah. And that's what I like. Praise God. And if a barrel load's not good enough for you, get a lorry load of wisdom, but a lorry load of joy. Hallelujah. The joy of the Lord shall be your strength. Amen. Knowledge allows one to understand. They taught us how to multiply. They taught us how to divide at school. It was all knowledge. Still useful today. A lot of people can't do it in their heads. They need these things called calculators. And they look for the sign. Oh, that's a good message to preach. Look for the sign. Oh, there's a message in that alone. Look for the sign. Eh? If they want to divide, they press the divide sign, don't they? And it divides for them. They don't have to use much of the knowledge now. And they look at it and think, yeah, I've got a calculator. Most of the time it works great. But if you work as fast as I do, you can go that fast that the calculator can't keep up. And you look at it and you think, you could write that down as a figure. But you look at it and think, that's not right. It's nearly right, but it's not right. Had it happened twice this week, with a big order coming and I'm working some prices out, some costings, punching buttons and going that light fast. I've got shortcuts put into this calculator. So, I'm going too fast for it. Next thing, it's throwing up stupid numbers. That's not right. But those people who've just learned, and it's just as knowledge and it's never been assembled in any way, would write it down. I know they do. Because when I was teaching young people after schools, they gave them calculators and said, here, that's a calculator, and use it. And they were doing maths. And they were writing figures down. I said, where do you get that from? Off calculator. I said, it's not right. It is. I got it off the calculator. I said, I'm telling you, it's not right. But it came off the calculator. It must be right. There were these cheap, tacky calculators. So I punched it in again. It came up with the wrong number. So I got mine out, punched it in, gave it, showed him that. Got all of his and threw it away. That's all they're fit for. False knowledge. But they've no wisdom to see that there's something wrong there. They can't analyse. They can't absorb and appreciate these things. Knowledge, for instance, like you and I, we watch the weather forecast, don't we? And they say it's going to rain. Oh dear. There's nothing like that. It's always, it's going to rain today, etc. So if you're going, you're going out and you might have to walk about. Do you know what wisdom says? That's it. Exactly. How did you know that? You see, you must have some wisdom. Wisdom says take your umbrella. Oh. Knowledge says it's going to rain. Wisdom says, take the umbrella. You know, I'm just simplifying it a little bit, just so that knowledge didn't sort of didn't say to you, get the umbrella. Wisdom said, take the umbrella. All the knowledge we gather without the wisdom of God, without the wisdom of our Heavenly Father, is no good. The world is full of knowledge today, and they're still making big mistakes. The world is full of knowledgeable people, and they stand there and they say, there is no God. I don't think they're very wise people. They don't have much wisdom. We're going to do our own thing and create our own destiny. There is no God. Well, how did you get here in the first place? Yeah. Amen. Wisdom says, yeah, knowledge is good, as long as it's used in conjunction with the Word of God and the things of God and for the things that God wants. Because God gives knowledge and revelation and understanding. One final portrait of a father. Turn with me to Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15 starts at verse 11. A certain man had two sons. The younger said to his father, give me my share of the estate that falls to me. And he divided the wealth between them. And the story is of the prodigal. He goes off. The one thing about this that I've just realized, he knows he's entitled to half of his inheritance. Because he's the youngest here. He gets a third. Thanks, Bill. Yeah. So he knows, his knowledge that he's been given over the years tells him he can get a third of his wealth, of the wealth.
Yeah.
So he gets it. And off he goes. Loaded with money. But he forgot to take wisdom with him. And all these people came around him and said, oh, you look a nice, smart, rich young man. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I could be a real pal to you while you've got money.
Yeah.
Come and join us. You can come and join our party. Oh, by the way, you have to pay. You buy the booze.
Yeah.
And so it went on. And then one day, one of his friends came round and said, we need some more money. And he looked at him and said, I've nothing left. You've nothing left? Well, we don't need you. And they walked away and left him. And he ends up eating the pig's swill. And suddenly, a little bit of wisdom descends on him. Here I am, eating and sleeping with pigs. And yet, where I came from, my father's house, he's got servants who've got soft, comfy beds, clean linen, wages, and are fed proper food. What am I doing here?
Yeah. Yeah.
Didn't come out of knowledge.
It came out of experience.
It came out of his experience. Which brought him some wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
And then he said, I think I better go back and apologize. Ooh, that's a big thing.
Yeah.
And asked my dad to just set me on as one of the local servants. At least I'll have a bed and some food. and I'll have a roof over my head. Verse 20 is the one I want to get to. And he got up, did the young man, and came to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion for him and ran and embraced him and kissed him. Your Heavenly Father, my Heavenly Father. Even when we don't use our wisdom that he's given to us, he's always out there looking for you.
Amen.
Always out there looking for you. And even when you're coming back smelling of pigs, not showered for weeks, filthy from the things of the world, he's looking out for us. He's calling our name. And he has a place ready for us.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
That's a father.
Amen.
That is a father.
Yeah.
Men, be spiritual fathers.
Amen.
To those that are in need. And let God work through you. God wants to be, you to be, his hands, his feet, and his mouth.
Yeah.
Doesn't exempt the ladies neither. Be good spiritual mothers.
Amen.
In the same way.
Yeah.
Be good spiritual mothers. And let that wisdom that you have be imparted and guided into young women's lives in the future. And God will be glorified and you will receive your rewards.
Amen.
Praise his wonderful name.
Thank you, Jesus.
The Lord bless you.
Amen.
Amen. Happy Father's Day.
Amen.